The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in Colossians 3, verse 8. Colossians 3, 8. God has provided for positive volition those that aspire to understanding and living under the truth, a rapid system, an immediate system to recover from the rule of the STA. All believers after salvation, however positive and dedicated to God, sin. Personal sin must be laid aside. This is done through simple confession. Only the believer in Jesus Christ inherits this privilege. The privilege of being able to be out of fellowship with God at 1 minute and get back instantly, like throwing a light switch. On or off. Personal sin puts us out of fellowship. There is a whole list of items that constitute, a few of which we will be looking at today, that constitutes sin nature activity. When we're out of fellowship, we cannot make spiritual progress. We cannot learn the truth effectively. Might explain why some people don't seem to get it, because they're not in fellowship. You've got to be in fellowship during the communication of Bible doctrine. Whatever kind of a funk you came here in, whatever kind of problems you got with this and that, the solution always remains the same. Back under the truth, back oriented to the plan of God, whether you are in reversionism or just basic carnality. So we give you a few moments in which to use the rebound technique if you need to, so that you can indeed worship God in spirit and in truth, because that's ostensibly why you showed up. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, since man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from your mouth, we've assembled ourselves together so that we can continue to move forward to our ultimate destination, recognizing that life on this earth is short, brief, but life with you is eternal, and yet in this brief life, we have the opportunity to make the adjustments to you and reap eternal life. Be with us now in our study, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're dealing with the topic of isolation of the STA. And we are dealing with this from the standpoint of dealing as only believers can do this. Believers in Christ are to, as noted previously, in the previous list of sins, the sins that were featured there are of a sexual nature, with one exception. The other one is materialism, greed. Now, all of us possess this sin nature. It's in our genetic code. It's why people do the things they do that are not good. They follow and they take their prompts from it. Therefore, we should not be spiritually naive with regard to ourselves or anyone around us. Believers are going to stumble, and all believers stumble in many ways. However, that's not an excuse for capitulating to the sin nature. The sin nature seeks to rule over your soul. But we have a system whereby we can put it out of commission, if only momentarily. That depends on our volition and our dedication to buckling down and applying Bible doctrine in the face of pressure upon our souls to sin. Because the sin nature continues to assert and put pressure on the real you. This is regardless of your level of spiritual growth. However, with more spiritual growth and greater development, it is less likely, it is less likely to be able to convince the real you to go along with a particular area of lust or sinning. The counterpart to the sin nature is building up the inner man. That's a topic that's coming up in this chapter. Now, Paul writing to these believers back in 62 AD, he tells them to put to death, bad translation again, note again, verse 5, that they are to put to death the members of your earthly body. In other words, to deactivate with regard to the list that follows. The members of your earthly body refer to everything from the top of your head to your toes. Everything. That is the members of your earthly body. The individual constituent parts that make up human anatomy. Human anatomy, therefore, is involved in all sinning, even if the sin is strictly starts and ends in the mental attitude. Mental attitude sins sometimes translate into overt sins of a verbal and otherwise sort. But we are to put to death, now again, in verse 5, would he be writing this to believers in Colossae, if they had completely no incidences of sexual indiscretion among their members over the years? Of course not, because it happens. That's realistic. It's just that sex is the big, you know, vibrate everybody all over the place. Two, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. Each of these words looks at the subject of sexual sinning from a different angle. Now, sex is something that God has provided for the human race, something He has provided for the perpetuation of the human race, as well as recreation between a husband and a wife. Okay, so all activity outside that, the divine institution of marriage, all activity outside that constitutes sin. And there is a ton of it going on our earth, obviously, at all times. And he tells the Colossians that they are to put this to death. Now, that doesn't mean, okay, everybody, let's just all today stop and there'll be no more sins in that department. We'll just shut that department off because it's all over. That isn't going to happen. It's just one other area of the lust pattern. Therefore, the deal here on the five items, four of which deal with sex. And of course, you know, what's the nuance of each one as it relates? The first one is probably the easiest because it simply deals with the overt act outside marriage. The overt act outside marriage is a sin. Okay? It's that simple. It's a violation of God's order. I don't care what 99% of people think. Truth is not based on human consensus. Voting on it. Well, this is now how we think about that. It's how we have degenerated about that. as is well observed within our own civilization and the world at large. The complete tolerance, indifference, and you're an awful person if you say sexual activity outside marriage is out of line. Well, that's what we say. It's out of line. It happens. It occurs. The normal, man, woman, unmarried, and then the abnormal, same sex. When I went to college, they had a psychology course. They had one of the semesters was, and all the kind of twisted people like this course, abnormal psych. Abnormal psychology. That was prior to 1973. And it was considered bad. And it wasn't this junk today, oh, you were born that way. Were you born a drug addict? Were you born a serial killer? And you can go on and on. Were you born a thief? No. These are things that are in the code and in the person follows these patterns. Now, basically, our population, although there's probably a silent majority that really think this is out of line, but the ones that get all the press are the ones that promote this. So what we have today is people producing children out of wedlock, setting them back immediately in life, throwing a curve at them instantly because of their lust and their unwillingness to commit to one another and do it right and have a stable situation. Now, if you fall and pray to that, obviously, there's the grace of God that will forgive you of your sins, and you, or if you're a victim of that, you can get in a place where you can move forward, you know, and say, I'm not going there. Everybody else does it. Again, doesn't make it right. Everybody else does it. Look at the consequences. Children without fathers and mothers together. Disease. All that goes with it. The wrath of God over them. Yeah, the innocent suffer too, whatever the innocent are. The innocent are cursed by association with this. They don't rise above it. Unless, individually, they figure something out, have a right influence in their life, and attach themselves to God and His plan. Or are just the kind of people who say, you know, my mom's a wreck in every way, and I'm not going there. Out of love for her or anything, I'm done with it. The Colossians lived in a world with a lot of sexual license. We all know this from our study of ancient civilization, but you probably could pick up any civilization. And while on the surface, the Victorian civilization might have looked straight-laced, no. Not at all. They just had a better way of hiding it. Today, it has gone ballistic over the face of the earth. And so we have verse 6, addressed to the Colossians. He says, because of these things, the wrath of God's coming. Not just those things, but because of these things that the wrath of God will come on the sons of disobedience. Before I pass on, I like to point out that these things resonate in my soul. This is what separates you mentally from the cosmos. And you go, bunch of nice people on TV all talking about some topic, how to make an omelet. I don't know, whatever. Subjects are endless. And I look at all these people and I say, sons of disobedience. And my other favorite one, sons of pride. But they will not humble themselves under God and His plan. Some of them have a little bit of a religious side, which gag, gag, when they come out, when they open their mouths, like Reba McEntire. I got a new album, Faith and Inspiration. We all need that. And we need to take this world back for God, one person at a time. Oh, my God. Oh, that's just wonderful, isn't it? And that's the pablum you hear in churches and around these people. They don't have any truth in them. No truth in them. They may just be believers, and that's about it. But I don't care who they are. They're obnoxious. They have no truth in them. I didn't pick on her because I just happened to catch it going by this week. Well produced, great musicians, but crap. The song didn't glorify God, but they think it did. Because they will not go to a local church where you're told straight up the way it is. They want to go where they want to come out feeling good. Well, you can do that with pot. You could do that with two or three martinis. Well, you're not laughing? And then you could walk around like some of these celebrities. I'm a very spiritual person. Yeah, on the dark side. Only in your imagination are you spiritual. You will not listen to truth. You do not want the truth. But guess what? Everybody is going to have to come before it and acknowledge it. Not because they embraced it, but because they're on the wrong side of God and they are going to face His wrath. They already are out there. People are suffering all over the place. And it is largely because they will not get with God and get with His plan. They're lonely, they're alone, they're broken, they're in prisons, they're in hospitals, they are. And then even the ones that aren't, that are out here and seem to have it all, they got their own prison. They are shallow. The billionaire is shallow. He's clueless. He's a fatted calf going to the slaughter. And you can thank God every day you found the truth. It maybe wasn't easy for you to get here. Maybe it wasn't just a cakewalk, but you did it. Don't walk away from it. Don't let anybody or anything, and there's not one of us in this room, me included, I understand, there's not one of us in this room that cannot be led astray and sell out for whatever you can think of. Whatever your STA thinks it's got to have at this moment in time, that it's going to make you happy and you're going to sell out for it. And it happens all over. So we have to deal with this area of our sin nature if we're beset by the sexual side. Some may not have very much in that regard. I mean, they may verbalize things and things of that nature and say nasty stuff and all the rest. And then, of course, there's materialism greed, the last item. So upon this wrath is coming. And he says, and you used to be caught up big time in this. How do we quantify the difference between the Colossians before salvation, when they were out in the pagan world, and sexual impropriety was everywhere? Not that there weren't moral people, you know, but it was just featured all over the place. I know this. I've studied it a little bit. You really want to see a place where it was featured? It was in Pompeii, right off the coast there. And God torched them one beautiful sunny day around 70. Anyway. And one beautiful day, Mount Vesuvius started belching up this black stuff. Oh, let's look at that, isn't that pretty? Well, then she belched real hard. And that pumice filled the air, And the wind took it right over that population. And it preserved them in time. Some of them are just like this. Holding a loaf of bread. Holding their gold to their chest. On a bed. I mean, it's macabre. If you ever looked at it, in National Geographic, or you can see it online, you know, look at this. All of their items, and they were very affluent, was preserved in this stuff. The wrath of God had reached a limit. And this is saying something in the Roman Empire for the Pompeians who died on that beautiful day. Sun out and shining, beautiful, beautiful Mediterranean day. And they all got swept into the afterlife. Animals, children, adults. They suffocated. Died in their tracks, as we would say. And it has been by archaeologists and those digging into it. There was sex stuff everywhere. Brothels. It was like you go to the mall and there was a shop. I mean, it was all, and they brought all these females, all this males and everything, anything you wanted, basically. All this was going on. And God just took these people off the face of the earth. He did it at Sodom and Gomorrah. He's going to do it to the United States. He's going to do it in 1 hour, one day. About the third year of the tribulation. It's in the prophecy. It's in the Bible. Russia is going to do an all-out assault on this country with thermonuclear weapons, which they have really increased their arsenal and the capability of these things. They're ahead of us. They're going to checkmate all of this. Why? Because God is going to use them to judge us. He can use what He wants to judge people. 1 hour, one day. Everybody, all these people are going to be out here doing all what they do. And they will have got a chance to get out of here. So you used to live in these things. All right, verse 8. But now you also. Put them all aside. But now you also put them all aside. Now, right now. Put aside. Apotethemi means to throw off. This verb is used for taking off clothing. Removing clothing physically. Okay? It's translated put aside. Also, them. What's them? It's a definite article, accusative neuter plural. Sins. All aside. Now we have another list. Sex isn't featured in this list. The featured sin in this list is mental attitude, is anger, and its associated sinning. Different nuances of it. The first is straight up anger, orge. And then we have the next one, wrath, thumos. Thumos takes anger. Everybody has from time to time moments where they are angry. But it's usually just momentarily goes and passes. Then let's take it to another level. Rage. Does that get something over to you? Translate wrath, rage, out of control anger. Just ballistic type anger. Then we have another one. Translate malice. It's a noun, kakia. It is listed in the lexicon as wickedness. Well, in a list of sins dealing with anger and its associates, then it would seem that this can't just be general wickedness, which could be a lot of things. So in translating, in certain contexts, it's rendered malice. Another way of looking at malice is ill will. People just have a nasty attitude, or they don't like somebody for no reason. Don't have to have a reason. just malice, just antipathy towards others. That exists in us. Just a general, oh, look at all those jerks. You're an idiot. Malice. And then we move to a verbal sin, slander. When used of God, it's blasphemy. Blasphemia. But when it's towards another person, maligning, slandering them verbally. And abusive speech. Now, there's a lot of different expressions one could say that would be verbally abusive. Aiskrologia. Some think, in context, it's obscene speech. Okay, that could be abusive. But there's other types of abusive speech. And it's only, and the word, not that helpful, is only found here. In another context in the New Testament, where I'm sure it's used outside the New Testament. From your mouth. Yeah, well, that's obvious. That's where that comes from. The last two sins there, slander and abusive speech, they come from the mouth. Now, anger may express itself as abusive speech. Because a lot of times when people are mad, they spew out some verbal stuff. And while we're on sins of the tongue, do not lie to one another. Quit telling lies. Do not lie. Pseudomai, present imperative, with the negative may, means stop lying to one another. Means he knows, he's not naive, he knows that goes on. People lie to people for a lot of reasons. Do not lie to one another. And he comes back to something we've seen again and again. Since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, since you laid aside, this word could only better be translated in the sense of, yes, it could be translated put off like the previous one, but it is also used, op ek duomai, to disarm someone. A policeman disarming someone, for instance. So it means to disarm. You disarm the old self. Here, translate, laid aside. Now we got the old self. Another term for the sin nature. Adjective, palaios, means old versus new. And then the word self is the word for man, anthropos. With its practices. There's the word evil isn't in there. It's just with its practices. Praxis. Instrumental with a definite article. Its is the personal pronoun. Now, if you've been with me, you know that this is referring to this laid aside or disarmed the old self. For the first time, see, again, it's very important to understand that your sin nature is a very real, persistent, permanent part of you in this life. And when you believed in Jesus Christ, it was temporarily disarmed. We could say he was taken into custody. Then when you start sinning, he broke loose again. And on and on. But you laid it aside for the first time when you got saved. You laid it aside. You didn't know that. I didn't know that. All I knew, and that's okay, all I knew was all my sins of my life were forgiven in Christ. And that I was saved. I didn't know that I had a sin nature. I couldn't define it. I'd gone to church for years, and even in doctrinal churches, it was vague. It's like, is it in the soul, or what is it? Well, we cleared that all up. It's in the genetic code. And so, that's the old self. The old self, or the old man, and have put on the new self. There's your clothing analogy again. We took the old off, or the old was taken off, and the new was put on. What's clothed? It's a spiritual clothing. It's a clothing of the soul. The soul is clothed with the new man. In his infancy, if you will. And it put on the new self. And duo is the verb to clothe somebody. New self is simply the definite article with an adjective for new. Like, that's a new shirt. That's new. Neos. It's called the new self. The new self isn't some static entity that just is perfect and 100% developed at the point of salvation. The new self needs renewal. Who, this new self, is being renewed? Ata kainao, to renew. Definite article, aorist passive participle. This renewal, as we shall see, is the process of learning doctrine after salvation and growing and developing this new man into something that can deal with anything. If you want to, it gives your soul reasons and insight and everything to say, you know, I'm not going to go do that anymore. In some cases, I'm just not going there. and this renewal is being renewed to a knowledge, preposition eyes. Knowledge is epinosis, knowledge. And we got more on it. According to the image of the one who created him. According to kata, icon is image or likeness of the one. Katizo is the verb to create it. Whoever that one is. Obviously it's God. But which member of the Godhead? According to the image of the one who created him. We know who the creator is. The second person of the Godhead. He didn't stop creating things when he created original creation. He continued to have the freedom to create new stuff. So in salvation, the new self is created out of nothing. It is that other component of our makeup as a believer. We have a body. That's your overt person. And in it resides the old self. We have a soul, a living soul, given to us when we were born by God, created out of nothing. But it is, and so we are two parts, soul and body. We got saved, we get this new self. The new self must be distinguished. It is as much and real as the old self. It's just, when it comes on the scene, it's in its infancy. It's real. It's dynamic. It is the human spirit. And there is a distinction, as I will show you with verses later. And he has one more thing to say about this renewal. You can see it's in italics, but it's the way Paul, the structure that indicates a renewal in which is not a preposition, it's a conjunction. Opu means where, a distinction where, a renewal where there is strong negative, present active indicative, there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man. But Christ is all and in all. All right, so we have a lot to develop here theologically. Point one, but now stands over against once and when in verse 7. Looking at our lives, we start off and we're not saved. And at whatever age we first believe in Jesus Christ, then that before that, that's our pre-salvation days. Now we are in the post-salvation phase of our history. And for the Colossians, before they were evangelized, we have but now stands over against once and when in verse 7. See, we have to look at ourselves like that. Once I was unsaved. Once. I mean, I look at my life like that, compartmentalize it. Once I was spiritually dead, without Christ, without hope, but I was a seeker. I wanted to know if there was a God and what His plan was. That's what I wanted. I didn't know where to turn. I wasn't raised up to be religious, or certainly not even in a fundamentalist environment. And so where I got saved was in a fundamentalist environment, and that's great. And I'm grateful for that. And then I kind of graduate along down the line as I continue to search for truth. That's just my story. And it should be the story of anyone's positive. Yeah, I was dissatisfied where I was at, or I was searching. And I, maybe even as someone has told me, and I prayed to God, get me where I need to be. You're smart, I'm not. Get me where I need to be. I don't care what the cost is. I don't care what is involved. I don't care who walks away from me. Because when you turn on to the truth, you don't know if your marriage is going to last. You don't know if you're going to get inheritance from your parents. You don't know if you're not going to get fired instantly. You don't know what's going to happen. Or where you might have to move to. Not everybody has to go through all that, but there's a certain amount of it for everybody. You got to do what you got to do. Now, you got to maintain that right to the end of your life. If your best friend goes south, as David's best friend did, Jonathan, it's a lot of sadness. They were bound real close, very close, as for two males. I mean, they were joined at the hip in their good days when they were both with it, until Jonathan made a fatal decision. I'm going to stick with dear old dad, King Saul. I'm going to be loyal. You're loyal to the wrong thing. I ain't going to get you anything. Might look good, but you died the sin unto death with him on that hill. So whatever you got, whatever comes and goes. You keep marching forward in this fight. You look up one day and you have a new set of friends, maybe. A new this. A new spouse. It all happens. It's the way it goes. We're on a quest. For what? Now that you're saved, you don't have to do anything. Why would you even bother? Because I want what God has for those who take Him seriously. That's why you have to be in a church like this. And there isn't one in every neighborhood in this town. There isn't another one I know of in this whole city. Oh, you can get saved. Get some donuts and coffee. Put your kids on a softball team. Have a singles class. All the usual worthless stuff. Or you can get in a church where the truth is taught. And you're going to get some flack for it. Well, you go to that church. You know what? Stand up to it. Say, yeah, because they teach me the truth. Oh, you think you got the truth? Yes, I know I got the truth. You'd be nice about it. But stand up to them. They don't know anything. They have zero discernment. So how can they be a critic? They can't refute this. They aren't being taught this anywhere close in their churches. And what's important is that the Bible and the doctrines and the teachings in it build up that new self so you become like Christ. The immature new man is in the image of Christ. He's perfect. Can't mess him up as such. You can keep him stunted. More on that. You also refers to the same individuals who were once engaged in sinful behavior illustrated in the representative listing in verses 5, 9, that's probably 19, 12 examples, verses 5, 9, yeah, that one, and, well, we have 5, we have 6. Yeah, 5, 6, and 9. Sorry. where we have 12 examples, if I counted them right, of STA activity. Certainly not a comprehensive list, but it's a good place to start. Covers a lot of ground. Here in verse 8, Paul admonishes the Colossians to put them all aside. The imperative is aorist, active subjunctive, aorist, verb, apothemi, which means to take off in reference to removing clothing, as it is literally in Acts 7:53. And when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him, and the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of the young man named Saul. So it's used there, literally. Once it is used of imprisonment, but the remaining seven occurrences of this verb relates to the same, very same doctrinal principle that is found here in verse 8. All of these occurrences, point 6, have to do with the isolation of the sin nature. Romans 13:12. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on, there's your word, put on, clothe, wear, put on, the armor of light. Now we'll use a military metaphor. There's military clothing, right? In the ancient world, they had armor. They had a breastplate, and so forth. He uses here Ephesians 4:22, that in reference to your former manner of life, there we go again, anastrophe, you lay aside the old self. Ton, palion, anthropon, the old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. Ephesians 4:25, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, these are the people who went before us and did it right. There are a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let us lay aside every encumbrance. There's your lay aside. Now, this is a different setting. It means remove, in the Greek track and field, remove all unnecessary garments and weights so you can run this 100-yard dash or whatever it is. Lay aside every encumbrance or weight, athletic metaphor, and the sin which so easily entangles us. Do you pause on these words? Does sin easily entangle you? Nobody's saying yes, yes, okay. It's true. It easily entangles us. I mean easily. Unless we're lying to ourselves. And let us run the race that is set before us. Where is the race being set before us? Right here in Bible class. I'm telling you what you need to know so you can go out there and perform spiritually. And run the race and continue in your race until you die or the Lord comes back. James 1:21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted. Context. Bible class. I got to come to Bible class. I've been sinning. I might even have been, by some standards, in some fairly gross stuff. Lay it aside. Get in fellowship and learn Bible doctrine. That's the mandate. It isn't, oh, I am so unworthy, I can't make it. Well, God constitutes you as worthy if you rebound. Period. Some people won't grant you that, but they're not with this, right? In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to deliver your souls, e.g., from shame and loss at the Bema seat. 1 Peter 2:1. Therefore, putting aside all malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation. Okay, that's easy enough. You got to lay this aside. You come to Bible class. I mean, you do it all through the day, but you know, it's time to get. You're thinking it's time to make a quick change. Boom. Our fellowship, and somebody may even be pointing it out to you. Well, you do this. Okay, I do it. Or at least, you've judged me as doing it. You're so good at it. Either way, I'm in fellowship. Yeah, but you do it over and over again. Join the human race. We all do it over and over again. Maybe not all the stuff. Some of it we got enough smarts or fear of God. We don't want to stick our hands in that fire. So we don't do that. Yeah. Because it's a fairly quick trip to the sin and to death on that one. So I don't think I'll do that one. That's a real dangerous. That's a high risk sin. That's a low risk sin. Now and over there. Not that I couldn't get divine discipline for it. Not that I should be doing it. But it's a low risk. So what we're doing is we're constantly throughout the day making a clothing change. Here's this closet with this wardrobe, and here's this one. You have one of them on at any time, period. You have one of them on right now. You're out of fellowship. You don't like the way I'm saying this. You're this or that. Okay, fine. But you can rebound. And we teach even our children, you need to confess to God the bad things you think, the bad things you say, and the bad things you do. Now, if you don't want to do that, just capitulate to your sin nature and go out here and live like the rest of these people. Okay? Isn't it a good feeling to know, you know, and not proud or not anything like that, but know that you're in an environment where people are around and you're probably the only one in there in fellowship. Not your only one saved, but you're the only one in fellowship. They don't even know how to get in fellowship. I witness rebound to people occasionally. And they nod their heads. It's not real to them. You know, you could tell someone about something about their health or something about this. Yeah. Like the short video I saw, where a guy, what he said, I was in a chemistry class. I was trained to be a doctor. I was in chemistry class. I was in college, and the professor got some soda, some dark soda. Not matter which brand. He put a human tooth in it and dissolved it. It dissolved the tooth. Huh. You mouthwash with that all the time. Might not be a good idea to drink that crap. Then, but his experiment was he poured some of it out of a fresh bottle because it went psht when he opened it. Poured some milk in it. This much milk. And he had three bottles. The guy said, this one sat for 2 hours. It was a kind of an orange funky color. The other one sat for I don't know how many longer hours. It had three layers. It had this gunk in the bottom, this clear stuff in the center, and all the rest. And his point was, this is so gone. He said, and I don't know. He says, I was a Diet Coke or soda freak. I drank 5-6 of them a day. He said, but I got smart and I remembered what I had heard in school, and I decided this probably isn't the best thing I can be putting down my throat. I don't care if it's advertised from here to Sunday on TV. And all the attractive people. They don't have some wrecked person drinking this stuff, do they? They really don't. They don't have someone that's way overweight and just looks like, you know, living hell, walking dead, drinking this stuff. No. They have some sexy girl, some athlete, you know, drinking this stuff. What does that tell a dummy that's watching it? It's a health drink. All look like that, not consciously, but subconsciously. This is, they would, oh, and here's another thing that somebody got to grow up in. Well, everybody wouldn't be doing it if it was that bad. Oh, are you kidding me? Tell the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah that. Tell all these people out here, they're doing all this stuff. Mass deception on all fronts with so much people. It isn't funny. I would pray all the time, you know, for your own spiritual well-being, your own physical well-being, et cetera, et cetera. I would pray about this. Now, if you don't care, you don't care. Now, chug it down. I'm addicted to it. What's that supposed to mean? Buck up and dump it. Wimp. Sure, you'll go through a few days of withdrawal. You got all this sugar in your system and your brain's just fired up with it. Yeah, it's an addiction. Okay. 7, to put aside as one might remove a soiled garment has reference to the same technique as circumcision in 2:11 and 3:11, also Philippians 3:3, and putting to death in 3:5 and Romans 8:13 in this letter. All relates to the same thing. It's just another way of looking at it. Put it to death. You know, it's like disarm. We even had disarm. Disarming the STA. It's not going to run me right now. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to walk in fellowship. I'm doing it right now. I might not in a few minutes, but I'm right now. That's what I'm going to do. It is your choice, and you can reap the blessings as a result of that. Or you can choose not to. That's your business. That's between you and God. But I taught you a technique today. I've taught it many times to you all. But I taught you a technique how to get yourself out of the mud when you sin. You say, well, I can't remember everything I thought and said, the good and bad. Well, don't worry about it. Just rebound anyway. If the light switch is already on, then you just rebounded. Big deal. But you commit unknown sins. You commit known sins. You commit sins you forget because you go through a period of time. All right, let's take our break.